Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Wednesday, hump day, September 12, 2007, the only September 12, 2007 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this live Wednesday night webcast known as Glenn
very
Klein.
Very live.
Yes, very live. And of course, as soon as I start, I get a frog in my throat. How you doing tonight, Michael? Let's welcome Michael Williams to the Gospel Revolution.
Hey, we're going to defrog Glenn first. So.
I need deliverance.
Yes, we cast it out. You know, that frog, that's a sign of frogs were listed as what would be in the pit. So and, any emblems of frogs we have to get rid of because they attract demons.
And it was also one of the
and
plagues.
And you got one in your throat.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
There's a demon in your throat.
And it was also one of the plagues, of course, that God smote Egypt with.
Yes, it was.
How did frogs get such a bad name, I wonder?
I don't know, but you've been smoting.
I have been smote, and we have been smoting by the love of God, frankly, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And it's taken. And we're very happy to share that with you each and every Wednesday night. Mike back. In Houston, Texas, after a very successful time. We'll be talking about that. Just got back from Canada. I had quite the time at the Field of Dreams in Wisconsin. But we're going to talk to Mike tonight about the series of meetings that occurred in Kelowna, Canada. And also, we're going to be taking your calls and your emails tonight. If you're listening online live, it's a little after 9 o'clock Eastern time. Get in early with your questions and comments. You can email us those at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Or you can call us on the toll-free Glenn Klein online hotline at 1-800-436-3260. That's 1-800-436-3260. We'll be taking your questions. And when you do write us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, we ask you to keep the comments and questions relatively brief because we like to get to them, and it's hard to get to a lot of them when people go into such great detail. But Michael, first of all, welcome back to Houston. And,
Thank you.
And glad both Michael and I flew on September 11th.
Yes, you did.
When I realized that my flight home was on September 11th, you know, I was a little hesitant, I must admit. There was a momentary hesitance. I was like, screw them, you know? I mean, it's just like, if everybody's going to be paralyzed by that, we're going to be in big trouble. So my flights were actually on time, which was a nice change of
pace. I had an excellent flying day. Of course, mine lapsed over into September 11th. I didn't actually take off on September the 11th, but I had a late flight.
You know, since we're talking about September 11th, of course, yesterday was the anniversary, the sixth anniversary of the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon.
Right.
It's hard to believe it's been 6 years already.
It is.
But let us remember that when that occurred, there were those in the evangelical Christian community, Michael, that wanted to blame basically America's sin for opening up the door to the devil.
Oh, they didn't want to. They did.
Yeah.
They did. The Grahams, both of Billy Graham's, his son and his daughter, publicly on CNN, and of course Falwell, who is no longer with us here on this planet, and I'm sure has much more logic now than he did while he was here. And also Pat Robertson.
Well, and the late great Jerry Falwell also.
Yeah, absolutely. Falwell is who I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Not Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson has not passed from this earth. they all did. In fact, Graham said it was because it was Robertson that directly said that it was because of lesbians, gays, and feminists that brought this on America. that were directly responsible.
And, you know, of course, there was an outrage when they said that.
Oh, absolutely. And then, of course, Graham and Ann both sat and explained how that at least 80% of the people who died in the towers were sort of split in hell wide open. So, you know, so not only did the people have the grief, but the evangelical community did their share and stepped up to the plate and added to it, you know. Now, if it were true, it wouldn't make any difference if they were adding to the grief or not. If it's true, it's true. But the fact of it is, it's a lie. It is an out-and-out lie. Not one person who died on 9/11, 9/12, 9/13, 9/14, or 9/10 went to hell anyplace on planet Earth, because Jesus Christ didn't fail. As they teach him to be the miserable failure that they do, I beg to differ with their conclusions that he was not the 80 to 90% miserable failure. He was the 100% success at doing what God sent him to do. God didn't send him to this planet to offer the world a chance. He sent them to offer us poor, misguided souls, provide us with a gift called eternal redemption for the entire planet. Because God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world unto himself. And I believe he succeeded, Glenn.
Yeah, I do too. And more people are believing that all the time. I just got an email from a guy who was in our church in Wisconsin, who, after we left that church and came over to the gospel, he was summarily dismissed as an elder for some, you know, power struggle situation that happened up there. That happens all the time, of course,
all the time
in the churches. And I had heard from him in many, many years. I just got an email from him the other night saying that he, too, had stumbled upon the website and had come to realize that
awesome.
Yeah, that Jesus had actually succeeded in his mission of redeeming the world of sin.
And what an idea, yeah, that God and Jesus were successful in their plan. Amazing, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, the more and more that you listen to the evangelical Christian community and the purveyors of this dreck, this law of sin and death, it is so double-minded, it is so schizophrenic, yeah. Michael. I mean, on the one hand, they're talking about how basically you can move the hand of God and that, in fact, I was channel surfing this morning. There was some guy on the God TV channel now with this young couple out of England that the next generation, it's like Star Trek, the next generation. And they are Star Trekian, there's no doubt about it. And
yes.
But they, he was up there saying, Lord, we repent, I repent, I repent of my sin. And this was the highlight, this was the promotion. And that, yeah, of course, with signs and wonders following. And the fact that we would have to repent for every single sin that we ever did,
based on 620 laws or something.
Well, plus don't forget, as we talked about before the summer pledge drive, that Jesus said that if you thought about it, if you were tempted to break one of the 613
absolutely
laws, you would have to repent for, ladies and gentlemen, things that you didn't even know you did, because what about when we dream?
And you would have to speak in tongues as fast as you could to confess it all.
One of the things that is so upsetting to me in one way is that I ever believe this stuff. I mean, it's just...
Oh, I know. You know, now think about this contrast. Now, here, of course, Paula and Randy White, and they're in your beautiful Bay of the Holy Spirit,
yes,
in Tampa.
The Tampa Bay area.
God bless them. They've gone through a divorce, and as much as they preach the law, of course, they announced that the reason for their divorce was, I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 9, if thou passest, goest the difference of ways, thou shalt be able to divorce thy wife.
Right.
And with not giving any of what they call scriptural reasons, divorce, and Paula White Ministry alone bringing in $40 million a year while 80%, can you imagine God, now wait, you know, I can't stand this, all right? God gave Paula White, according to Paula White, gave Paula White $40 million last year, while 80% of the dying population of the world were cast into the burning hell. He could not save them by the power of his blood, but he could give Paula White $40 million based on her faith.
But couldn't save their marriage.
But couldn't save their marriage, couldn't save the world, but he could give Paula $40 million. Something is askew here.
Yes. And one of the things that is such a pleasure for us on this particular webcast and the entire effort of the Gospel Revolution is to uncover the truth. And the truth is that when Jesus said, Michael, that all the Psalms, the prophets, and the law was about him, that nowhere in what they called, Jesus and the disciples called the Holy Scriptures, remember, yeah, folks, that the New Testament wasn't written yet. They weren't talking about the New Testament because it didn't exist, what we call the New Testament. That nowhere in there does it say a Redeemer is going to come out of Zion to give you an opportunity to be, yeah, redeemed, or to give you an opportunity to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. You would think it'd be in there somewhere once.
Yeah, especially since it's preached around the world. You know, at least if Jesus was an opportunistic Savior, surely a prophet would have picked up on it, but not one single prophet picked up on the doctrine that has spread around the world, and that Jesus was opportunistic, and that God was incapable of redeeming that which he created by his own self, and that he was incapable, in fact, totally miserably failed. I mean, you know, and that is a conservative estimate on the part of evangelicals, is that 80% of the world's population is burning in hell and will continue. 80% of those who die tonight. And if you're living in another country where the gospel isn't spread, in Iran, I mean, almost, I'm sure that everybody who died in Iran this evening, according to evangelical Christianity, went straight to hell.
Or imagine this, the Christian president...
And the Jews.
Yes.
And the Jewish nation.
And the Christian president of the United States, who has waged war in Iraq, obviously, they call it collateral damage, but a lot of innocent people have been killed. And you would think that if somebody so strongly believed that people were going to die and go to a much worse place than Saddam Hussein's Iraq, that they would hold off on having those people die if they truly believe that. The thing is, Michael, they really don't believe it.
They don't believe it. They demonstrate they don't believe it. They can't back it up. They can't prove it. In fact, it has been thoroughly disproven by the scriptures, by the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, and to which I adhere and teach scripturally, the fact that Jesus redeemed the entire planet, and there is no such thing as a judgment day past the cross. Judgment day was the cross of Jesus. That was it. Final show. Nobody's going to show him up. He doesn't have to come back on a white horse and finish it up, what he failed to do this time, and to come back just to punish those who didn't believe. I mean, it's just, you say, but Mike, it's in the Bible, but it's not in the scriptures. And that's what people don't get about this whole thing, Glenn, is that we strictly adhere to the teachings of Jesus, and we strictly adhere to the teachings of Peter, James, and John, who all three told us, and Peter, James, and John, and Jesus, that makes four of them, all told us, all of them agreed, that if you're going to find the truth, you must search the scriptures, to which they all agreed was the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, exclusively. And Jesus said very clearly that these are they which speak of me. And then, of course, Paul was very eloquent in being able to say that if you're getting anything personal out of this, other than what the prophets foretold, you have a private interpretation. So you see, the evangelical world's definition of redemption, a partial redemption, is a private interpretation. Yes, invasive around the world, but private nonetheless. The definition that we have come to the conclusion of is not even our own. We just read what the prophets said. And the prophets foretold that God would send his son into the world and that he would, by his own arm, redeem the world. And that through Abraham, it would be like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky through the seed of Abraham, which was Jesus. And, you know, the evidence is so overwhelming, it's amazing that we even have to talk about it. But we do have a planet that has been literally submerged in the lie of evangelical Christianity and every other religion on the face of the earth, but it's more disrespectful. I respect a Muslim who does not embrace the name of Jesus, preaching legalism, much more than I respect a Christian, someone who says they believe in Jesus and that 80% of the world is going to hell.
Right, because there's not anything in Islam or in Judaism that, on the one hand, says that you are saved through grace and not of works. Because
because
those religions are set up, they say you must be saved by your works.
Absolutely.
Well, Christianity says you're saved through unconditional acceptance of God and the love of God, but then you got to do all this stuff to please this God that saves you unconditionally.
I think Hebrews described it as doing despite to the spirit of grace and counting the blood of the covenant wherewith we were all sanctified by as an unholy thing.
Exactly. That's powerful stuff, ladies and gentlemen. This is Glenn Klein Online. We're talking with Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution, taking your emails tonight, your questions and comments at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We've got room for you to get in with your comments and questions tonight. Email us right now, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And we have a caller online right now. We have Stephen calling us from Johnson City, Illinois. Stephen!
Hey!
How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful.
Good evening, Stephen.
Totally pumped.
Us too.
It's good to be talking to some familiar voices. I've listened to you guys a couple times before, and
well, just don't say familiar spirits because they'll get all over us.
Well, okay. Well, about a couple months ago, I actually Mike took some of your. Well, a CD that a friend of mine burned off for me and took it on a 5-hour trip to my mom's, and we listened to, you know, several things you had to say, and we're just blown away.
Awesome. What were you listening to?
Well, I can't remember. I think Seven Pillars of Wisdom was one of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I can't remember. A friend of mine, though, told me 4 or 5 months ago, I was the next youth pastor, and during my time in youth ministry, I was able to convince over 100 kids that they were going to hell unless they accepted Jesus.
Yep.
And I feel so silly now because a friend of mine came in and said, you know, I wonder if it's possible that Jesus might have done this without me, you know, without us. And I said, well, there's no way that's possible. He didn't do that. That's not what he did. I know what I'm supposed to do. Don't try to distract me. And I said, I'm going to go to the Bible and prove that you're wrong. And upon looking at the Word, it took me about 1 week to stop and say, oh, my gosh, what have I done? I mean, I can't believe I ever taught anything else. I mean, I see it so plain. And so I started a blog on MySpace and started telling people, you know, what I've discovered. And, of course, you can probably guess at the results. It's not been real positive.
Were you pastoring still, Steve, when this happened?
No, I haven't been for quite some time because I've been, you know, so disillusioned. I mean, you guys were just talking about how, you know, Jesus died to save the whole world, and yet we tell people that they're going to hell,
yeah.
But yet the people that are telling them don't do anything. I volunteered for years, never got paid a dime, did my work after hours, and sat here and watched people that were getting paid to save people, and watched them not only get paid but go play golf all day long. And I've been, you know, upset about that, thinking if people are going to hell and if we're supposed to convince them of this and convince them to turn to Jesus, then why are we not doing it? And here I am. I would love to preach God's word. I would love to not spend the whole day working, but instead preach God's word and get paid for that. Oh my gosh, that would be a dream. And yet, you know, the people who are getting paid aren't doing anything, and it frustrates me, you know, to no end. And now that I know that it's a lie, I have to say I'm a little upset by it. You know, I'm a little upset, and I want to see this thing turn around. I'm in on the revolution. I'm ready to take it, you know, as far as God will allow me to be a part of it. And so that's why I started this blog. And if you guys get the chance to look at it, it's at myspace.com/Steve Essary, STEVEESSARY. And everything that God showed me, I refused to look at your teachings, Mike, although, you know, they were given to me by a friend. I said, no, I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to look at this. I'm not going to look at that. I'm going to look at God's word, and that's it, and I'll prove you wrong. And it was upon my trying to prove you and others wrong that I saw, oh, my gosh, he absolutely did it. And and everything that he taught me, I put in the blog immediately. I started typing it up. And it was after starting that I started to listen to you and listen to others and say, oh, man, you know, they've been saying it all along, and I haven't been listening. But it's been 4 months now. It's so brand new to me, and yet I feel like God has taught me so much in such a short amount of time. And there's about 10 or 15 of us here now that believe this, and we've added probably three this last week. And it's for us, it seems to be advancing quickly here. So,
and where are you, Steve?
I'm in Southern Illinois. As a matter of fact, some friends of mine, Kim and Jared Morris, and Jamie and Lindsay, and some people went to the Grace Gathering over in, I want to say it was in Ohio. Is that right?
Indiana.
Okay.
Oh, I'm
okay,
going to be
yeah.
back in Southern Illinois in about a week and a half. We need to get everybody together and have a one-night meeting.
That sounds wonderful.
Steve, are you getting the emails from the Gospel Revolution? Did you sign up for that?
Yeah, I sure did.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been getting them.
All right, well, listen, I've got your email address now. So,
okay.
And then I'll find out. Mike, when are you going to be in Illinois, Michael?
I'm flying up on the 21st, and I'm going to be there through at least the 26th. I'm driving a car back down, so my time is completely open. And it's like, my goodness,
awesome.
I was like nothing better than to spend a night or two with some people just chatting about the gospel.
That sounds great.
All right, well, Steve, email me your phone number, and we'll get you in touch with Michael quickly, and we'll put.
Thank you.
I love this. I love this spontaneous gospel stuff.
Yes.
And
what it's all about.
And we'll put this together. All right.
All right. Sounds
Steve,
great.
Thank you for your call. Amazing.
All right.
Thanks, Steve.
And thank
congratulations.
You.
That's awesome. That's Steve Essary, and that his MySpace account, ladies and gentlemen, is just, you just go to myspace.com, and it's slash Steve Essary, which is Steve, S-T-E-V-E, Essary, E-S-S-A-R-Y. And for those folks that are in Southern Illinois, we've got a Mike Williams meeting happening. So
it's happening right online. We did it right here. See how easy it is?
And I think sometimes people forget we try to remind them how easy it is.
Well, you keep telling them all the time how easy it is to have Mike Williams in. Now they just found out.
Well, it worked out that you happen to be going back to the land of Lincoln.
I know.
So we'll wait to hear from Steve again.
We'll have some of our buddies from the bloggers at boldgrace.com will jump in there and help Steve out on his MySpace.
Yes, well, that's myspace.com/Steve Essary, S-T-E-V-E-E-S-S-A-R-Y, Steve Essary. on MySpace, and he's blogging this 4 months in, Michael, and you can just hear it in his voice.
Yeah, and see, I tell you what, there's no such thing as babies in Jesus. They're totally mature already.
Exactly. I mean, and here's the thing. Once you start seeing this, it is just all over the Bible. You know, we were talking earlier about it being in the Old Testament. In the New Testament writings, so much, in fact, all of the writings about hell and judgment are either completely taken out of context or completely mistranslated because it's not in there one time.
No, it definitely is not.
1-800-436-3260. And now we've got our good friend Rory Napton on the line. Rory?
What happened, Rory?
Well, it actually, as things happen, what appears to be a huge blunder.
All right, well,
hold on,
Rory. We want to remind everybody who you are if they didn't hear last week's program. Rory Napton is the spokesman and the drummer for the band Midnight Clear, and his band was competing in the early show on CBS television for the Battle of the Bands, and he gave us a great challenge last week in the last week of the Summer Pledge Drive, which a number of our listeners took him up on and voted for Midnight Clear over and over again, which was part of the rules. But what happened, Rory?
Well, let me first say some exciting things. I had numerous emails and phone calls. I didn't know this, and neither did people in my small community here, but I had three or four phone calls from people in my small community that listen faithfully every week to your show.
The webcast, really?
Yeah, I mean, this is from a little town in Dahlonega.
All the way up in the hills of Georgia.
Right, and we were able to share the gospel. I'd like to say something about it in a minute or so, but it was really, really interesting. But I first, there was a little glitch in what happened on our show that I know somehow, as always, what appears to be something devastating in our life when we leave the churches or whatever we do and go on into the gospel, it turns out to be one of the best things that happened. But for those of you that may have tuned in to the CBS show and were going to vote for my band, CBS said told us they made one of the hugest blunders they ever did. We're down to the last two bands in 2 weeks in this competition. Well, we were up against a band in New York City and in a band in Boston. Now, all the press we were reading was behind their band in Boston. We had the press in Atlanta and the South behind us, and as these American Idol kind of contests do, and the band in New York City. Well, of course, we were looking forward to the people on your webcast that may have heard us for the first time. Also, whether they probably wouldn't vote for us in New York City and Boston, that all of the media would hear my band for the first time, you know, and certainly we may get some advice to play or whatever. Well, what happened when CBS ran the portion of my video, they said, and here from the Atlanta metro area is Midnight Clear. The video they ran was of a 13-year-old punk rock band that had never learned to tune their guitars that we could tell.
Oh.
And were just screaming into the microphone.
That's not good.
Well,
that's not good at all.
No.
Well, hey, you know what? There's something to be said for getting press for being did wrong, you know?
Well, the thing is that what it did is, one reason I'm mentioning that, there are no sour grapes here. At first, we were all of a sudden in shock. But we had people from well, you can imagine, there's no, in the natural, the loss is devastating. But, you know, we had so many countless people from your show call and email us that made us so mad, we're going to stay all night in voting. And our count now in the little competition we have is up to $500 or $600 worth additional to be given to Mike as we count. But the... and going up. But the interesting thing is that the press asked me, we had called because it was actually a major story, and they said, And I guess they're wanting us to really blast CBS. And the only thing my heart would say, could say this afternoon is that, no, we are really grateful for the opportunity CBS gave us, number one. Number two is that it was an honest mistake. Number three, because how many times do we have grace for one another when honest mistakes happen? The producer was in tears over the phone to us. And I said, I want to let you know something. Playing on the CBS show, if we are to win or not, will be forgotten in a short amount of time. But what I will take with me forever throughout eternity was all of the people from the Glenn Kline show, our family and friends, that voted countless hours to try to make up for that, and all the love that was shared from one another to one another
in
voting. And the thing is that, yeah, we won't know till tomorrow morning whether we won or not, even with the huge mix-up. And if we did, y'all vote for us next week. I meant to tell you. But
if you guys win this thing, it will be such a better story than it would
have. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We don't have sour grapes. And we actually, it is actually helping the tally go up for the little challenge I made with Mike Williams. But, you know, so many good things happened because we didn't have a great sense of community in my neck of the woods. And all these people came together, and the people were sharing the gospel, which was really cool. And one person met somebody who knew about a horribly abused child. They got together and were able to help the child and get into a better situation because of it. And another cool thing that happened, I don't want to steal all the airways, I get it from my mom, but one of the gentlemen in town here he is so, so brilliant. He has done an exhaustive study in some of the things concerning the gospel revolution. And what I have found out is my mind is sort of simple, and the Bible meets me right where I'm at in simplicity in the truth of the gospel. Now, this gentleman, he is one of these brilliant people that analyzes, and he gave me an exhaustive study that, quite frankly, in so many ways was over my head, but I understood the spirit of what he was saying with all these scriptures. And through his brilliance and his exhaustive study, the bottom line was the same truth that the Bible met him, where to the same place that my mind, that is much simpler, was able to understand. And at bottom line, too, I told him, so what you're saying is that one man's sin, you may say, condemned us all, and one man's righteousness set us free. He said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. But I want to add this to it, that both events were identical in the fact that you and I had nothing to do with it.
Yes.
And it's just amazing that no matter where your mind is at to the depth that you think, the truth of the gospel remains the same. But anyway, I just wanted to quickly get into to Michael that I'm so glad we are able to, in this challenge, just bless him so much more with some money and to help the gospel revolution in this fun challenge. And that and Glenn, I just want to thank you so much for this opportunity to let the word get out and that if people would vote for us again, if we were to win, it's because of you people that just voted and didn't lose the faith, you know, in a blunder that happened. And Mike, I just think about you constantly, and Glenn, I've never met you personally, but it's just there's just no words for the gratitude and helping get this word out and the gospel I'm talking about, and also the the little help from my band here, and I'll let y'all take over now.
Hey, Rola, how are they going to announce it on the website, or how are you going to find out about it, Rory?
Well, they're going to announce it tomorrow morning on the show, usually just before the 9 o'clock hour. Who won? And I tell the people at CBS, you can imagine what they're thinking. Well, if this band loses, you know, everybody's going to be up in arms. They just don't know how to deal with it, you know.
What a mess they are in over this, Rory. This will catapult you into notorious thing.
Well, Mike, you probably know me a little bit. I find myself in these positions, but always, I mean, true. Since I'm a young lad. But the thing is, it always turns out to something better. Like the catastrophe that happened in the church you mentioned, you know, that I sort of got in trouble, you know, that may have appeared awkward at that time, but it was really the greatest blessing in my life, you know, now in the gospel revolution. Well, the same thing is happening now. What seemed to be a huge tragedy is going to turn out to be something really fun for us to talk about. Absolutely. And so we now, just have to, you know.
Now, Rory,
go ahead.
We just scheduled one meeting right here online, and I'm telling you, with all those other people that are calling you, we need to set up a time for me to come up and spend two or three days over a weekend and invite all these people in, and we'll all have a fellowship around the gospel.
We'll definitely do that. You know,
and you know what? If you get on that show, if you win this thing, we're going to send you a gospelrevolution.com T-shirt that you're going to have to wear while you're performing on TV.
I will tell you this. I'll open my shirt and point to it. What are they going to do, fire me? They're not paying me for that. They don't like it. If anybody doesn't like it, I'll gladly give them their money back.
There you go. Rory, we love you.
Right. Love y'all both so
right,
much,
Rory.
And everybody out there listening, thank you for your votes, and it's back on again next week should we win, and just once again, no words for the gratitude in this gospel revolution and the little part that I'm able to participate in. It's a lot of fun, it's a great joy, and I'll turn it back over to you all, and can't wait to see y'all.
All right, Rory.
I love to join.
Okay.
All right.
Love you lots.
There's Rory Napton, ladies and gentlemen. Unbelievable. Rory Napton of Midnight Clear. You know, I'll tell you, it's the gospel, you talk about the grace of God being able to be extended to somebody like that.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, that's you know, people ask, well, what do I do now? Well, listen. This is what you do. You face a situation like this, and to people that have made honest mistakes, instead of tearing into them, you get to say, you know what? We've all made mistakes, and God loves you, and yeah, this is looks bad, but we believe something better is coming. So, and really, that really is, Glenn, the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is absent. People are all the time trying to create the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is cultivated in the absence of guilt and judgment.
Talk about the fruit of the Spirit a little bit, because we don't see that manifested in the church. And
no, it's always, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is a contrived thing in the church. Now, that's not to say that there's not some good people there with good hearts who truly manifest good things, but the fact of it is, it's their belief system that makes them depart from the fruit of the Spirit. It's not their belief system that gives them the fruit of the Spirit. It is just absolutely the opposite. You know, I've been pondering this, and I am getting ready to do a series on giving and the fruit of the Spirit, because giving really is linked into the whole fruit of the Spirit issue. And I haven't studied a moment on it. I always come up with titles before I ever come up with a teaching. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's really powerful when you start thinking that the fruit of the Spirit is cultivated. If it's the Spirit, it's not the law. Because when you study Paul's teaching, when he's talking about the Spirit, he's talking about the absence of the law. You cannot talk about the fruit of the Spirit and apply the law, because that's like stomping grapes. You can't have fruit while you're stomping the plants that are coming up.
Right, because what they try to do with the fruit of the Spirit is saying, okay, now you must manifest this
yes.
stuff, this list,
which is crazy, which is just crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It is insane to try to force fruit. You can't, I mean, on what level does that make sense? And the fact is that here you are, and just like with Rory, you know, here a man is facing the possibility of the biggest break that he's had in his musical career, even though Rory has played around the world and is really known quite well in England, and has the very same club that the Beatles played in, that clubs ever or bands ever since then just relish the thought of playing one night in the club where the Beatles did. Rory was, and his band was held over 5 nights. So, I mean, you know, and here comes the big break, and somebody blows it big time. I mean, can you imagine some of these rock stars, what they would have done if they would have been treated in such a manner? They would have ripped this place apart. But instead, you have a man who is absent of guilt. Number one, Rory doesn't know what it's like to feel guilty before God anymore. He doesn't know the feeling anymore. Number two, he judges nobody. He judges nobody's relationship. Now, if somebody's harming somebody else, Rory would be the first to stand up and say, back off. You see, but and a good Christian would stand there and let it happen, because they're trying to figure out what to do. Well, in the gospel, it's clear. It's clear. You don't judge people's relationship with God, but you stand up for the fatherless and the poor and the homeless. You do what you can do to help. But you don't judge somebody who's made an honest mistake. But you got to realize, I mean, this could affect his entire career in a very negative way. But, you know, we'll watch what happens here. But my gosh, I mean, what an amazing response to CBS. And you know what? I just call on CBS to acknowledge, I mean, if they don't acknowledge the band at all, acknowledge what they have ran into.
Well, I asked Rory when I was talking to him earlier, couldn't they, you know, make an exception here? And he said, no, they you know, the mistakes happened. They did play the Midnight Clear video on Tuesday when nobody, you know, was expecting to vote or whatever.
Right.
So people did see it and certainly had the opportunity to vote. So, we'll see what happens tomorrow morning. We'll be in touch with Rory, and obviously we'll be very interested to see how that thing all turns out. And, Mikey, I did hear from Stephen in Illinois, and he's given me his phone number, which I forwarded to you. And he says that he just lost his job because he was working for one of his ex-pastor's sons, and he felt like his new faith in the gospel led him to lose that job. And so I've already encouraged him, and we'll be in touch with you, Stephen. But, you know, there's... when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, you know you're going in the right direction. I mean, Michael, you and I both know what this feels like. And, I mean, Michael, you had people who were your mentors, specifically Norval Hayes, say that he would destroy you.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're still ticking. And so
we're still ticking, and we're wishing Brother Norval the best.
And that's the best you can do. And here's the other thing, folks. When a person believes the gospel, if they respond in a situation, in a disappointing moment like Rory had, in a different way, out of their emotions or whatnot, that doesn't mean that God views you any differently either.
Absolutely.
The judgment of God was taken care of on the cross. If you respond in an unkind or in an impatient way or whatever, just say you're sorry. I mean, that's just a good thing to do. But even if you do repent to that person who you were impatient with or responded that way, God's not impressed by that. This gospel is so consistent, Michael. It's such a beautiful thing.
Profoundly consistent. You know, it's so consistent, it makes Bill Clinton wise and smart. You know, he made this statement one time, and I know most all evangelicals just detest the thought of him, but he made a statement one time in his calm, you know, Arkansas demeanor, and he said, when you do something wrong, do something right. You know, you follow up once you've done something wrong, do something right now. And he admitted he had done things wrong. Okay, it's time to do something right now and come to grips with this. But, you know, and that's all you can do. That's all you can do is once you've done something that you've hurt people is just do what's right now. Don't keep running from it. Do what's right. And when, as you do right to people, I tell you what, it'll definitely pay off in the end. I mean, it's not a reward from God. It's a reward from the kingdom of God based on just people respond to this stuff, you know? If you just call it stuff, I mean, people respond. People respond very positively. And it is a powerful message, and the fruit of the Spirit is definitely a huge part of this message of the gospel. It's not something that I've taught on at all through the process, but it's coming on.
Yeah, we'll make a note of it, because that's going to be a fantastic series when that.
It will be. I was thinking about one of them. Of course, one of the fruits of the Spirit was self-control. And I have just been mulling on this just for a few days now, Glenn. And I can just see how that flies in the face. If God, one of the fruit of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. You see, we're always trying to put God in control, but God took control and gave us freedom. And actually, He gave us freedom. And the freedom that He gave us is manifest in freedom from guilt and shame and freedom from judgment. Then comes the fruit of the Spirit called self-control. Now, we think self-control means being able to say no to moral behavior. But, Glenn, self-control means you've got control over your life. Do something with it. You're in charge. You've been equipped with everything that heaven has to offer. Now do something with it. That is self-control. We always see self-control as a negative thing. It's keeping me, if I had self-control, I won't do this and I won't do that and I won't do this. But self-control will say you can do this and you can do that also.
Yes.
That is being in control of self. And it is a powerful thing. I can't wait to teach on it.
Write that down again.
Absolutely. Somebody take notes.
This is Glenn Klein Online. That's Michael Williams, Gospel Revolution. Still time to take your questions or comments at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, or you can give us a call on the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. So much of the out-of-control behavior, Michael, comes from the fact that people feel guilt.
And they it is unbelievable.
And they feel like, what the hell? You know, I mean, I'm already in quote-unquote sin. I might as well go for it.
Absolutely. And it goes out-of-control behavior comes on both sides of this, guilt and judgment. Out-of-control behavior. You know, the woman that ran over her husband with her car, 14 times, kept driving in circles over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's out of control judgment, you know. That is out of control. That's over the top. And but it's also the guilt. The guilt causes you to give up hope. If you're condemned to hell already, why not just go to hell in fashion? And so many, one of the studies that I did years ago was on the serial killers. And I looked for a common thread amongst these people, you know, who had stepped out of the social and human realm into barbaric, and not even just, you know, any one of us is capable of a crime of passion at the wrong time, the wrong place, with the wrong person.
Yes.
But I'm talking about people who just look for people to hurt and to kill. Look for them, just to kill them. Those people, the one thing, Glenn, they all had in common as children, they all had a very strong, negative, legalistic, religious grandmother, grandfather, mother, father, aunt, or uncle who told them such things as you have blasphemed the Holy Ghost and you have no chance to redeem yourself, or to even your sin is so far gone, you're going to hell anyway. These people all had those similar experiences in their childhood. And it was like, so why not? You know, why not? I mean, why not just, and that's what tears through the soul, is out of control with guilt, and then out of control with judgment. But the opposite to that, Glenn, is the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit can only be manifest where there is a total absence of guilt and judgment. It is so ironic that the Christian community preaches guilt and judgment and requires the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
So what comes out? It's the fruit of fake.
It's the fruit of the law of sin and death is what comes
it's
out.
It's the fruit of the law of sin and death. And even when the smiles are fake, the handshakes are phony, the pats on the back, you know, it reminds me of some good old rock songs, you know. They smile in your face, and all they do is, the next thing you know, it's the backstabbers, you know.
Well, I mean, Christianity has evolved a little bit because we're not killing people physically anymore in most places, you know, for not towing the party line and the doctrinal line. But people all over this world, and certainly in the Western culture, are being killed emotionally because of the law of sin and death, the fruit of the law of sin and death. It's the exact opposite. Here's a story. Greg Amberger, our friend from Ohio, emailed us a story about a man in Spain. You talk about out-of-control behavior. He cut off his own penis, Michael. This is from a place called Somalica, Spain, because he wanted to stop sinning. He's 30 years old. He's recovering now in Western Spain. But the man took a knife and cut off his own penis because he didn't want to sin anymore.
Been done many times before. I watched a 15-year-old boy die like that 25 years ago.
That's out of control behavior.
That's out of control behavior. And what that poor boy needed, that was a 15-year-old, and then this man that made it double his age, lived in torment and were completely without the fruit of the Spirit, not because they didn't love God. I mean, how much do you have to be able to say you love God that you would emasculate yourself because you want so bad to stop sinning? I tried to kill myself, Glenn, 3 times because I loved Jesus so much.
Well, you know, when we were talking to Stephen from Illinois earlier, and he talked about these pastors, these professional ministers that were on the golf course. They said that all these people were dying, going to hell, and they were playing golf during that time. You actually tried to live the life for a while.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds like Stephen did too, you know, that we put so much effort. I was out on the streets 8 hours a day. I figured if I was going to be working, I didn't work. But I didn't just lay around. I spent 8 hours a day, even right there in Tampa Bay. I remember burning the soles of my feet to the point of blisters on those sidewalks down near the beach because I was trying to save people. But those blisters on my feet meant nothing because the people laying on the beach were going to be cast into to a lake of fire.
Right.
And burn forever. So I knew the blisters were coming up on my feet, Glenn. It wasn't like, uh-oh, look what I did. I knew they were there, and I kept walking. And because it was me that had made the mistake of going out without my sandals or my shoes on. I wasn't going to let people go to hell and burn forever just because the bottoms of my feet were blistering up. How lame is that? As Stephen said, these people are on the golf course.
Yes. Hardly with blisters on their feet. They've got golf cleats on their feet. We've said it before, if somebody is to really live the life of an evangelical Christian, it will kill them.
Absolutely.
First of all, who could emotionally deal with the fact that every single person that you go into the store, every single person that you're driving by, or at least the vast majority of 80%, according to the evangelical church's own statistics, are literally going to spend eternity. How could you live with yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank God. Well,
and, you know, thank God they don't really believe it. Thank God they're all a bunch of hypocrites.
Yeah.
Because I'd hate for them to have to live with the guilt they'd have to live with if they weren't.
Well, we got an email from Matt in the Atlanta, Georgia area. So here's another one from the Georgia area. He says, you guys, it just keeps getting better and better. You guys rock my world. He says, I've got a new income now, and I'll be catching up with my monthly pledges. And he said, by the way, my favorite fruit of the Spirit is Samuel Adams cherry wheat. Thanks, Matt. We appreciate hearing from you. And speaking of the monthly giving, our summer pledge drive came to an end, and we're happy to report that between...
Drum roll.
How'd we do?
You did good, Glenn.
With the drum roll or with the summer pledge drive?
I think both.
Well, between all your guys' giving and with Rory's wonderful pledge and challenge, and your trip to Canada, which we're going to talk for a couple of minutes about here at the end, we hit our goal.
We did.
And
isn't it amazing? Every goal we set, we meet. Let's make it 100,000 this winter.
This fall. All right,
pushing our faith a
100K. That would be great. Could actually do some things besides what we're doing now. But we're very appreciative of everybody's giving, and thank you very much for everybody. Yeah. And keep those monthly donations coming in. And we have to reiterate, the CD and DVD duplicating equipment has now been shipped down to Houston, is being set up. And if you do not get or have not gotten CDs or DVDs for either donations that you've made or orders that you've made, please let us know, and just keep letting us know. We will be fulfilling those.
Yeah, I'm separating all those emails right now in my very own office at the location on where are we? Or actually, the church is in Cyprus. It's just around the corner from us here, but we passed over into Cyprus on north. What is it? North Houston? North Cyprus, Houston? Something like that. I just totally forgot. Anyway, but it's all stacked on my desk, and I'm setting those emails to the side, and the people who've let us know that the CDs and the things that they did not get with the offered gift or the last, there was just lag time between while we had shut the equipment down in Michigan and it getting here, and of course getting it up and running, and someone in charge of that too. And I'm not making excuses here, but just to let you know that we will come through on all of these. So give us a little time, and we're looking forward to, within the next couple of weeks, that our turnaround time between an order being placed and it being back at your door to being under 2 weeks, each and every time, way under 2 weeks, just depending on how quickly the mail can get it there, too.
All right, well, that's another good goal.
Yes, it is.
Indeed. So tell us very quickly about how your time in Kelowna was in Canada last weekend.
Oh, my goodness. First off, to all my friends in Kelowna who are listening tonight, I just have to thank them from the bottom of my heart. I was treated like a king and stayed in a beautiful, beautiful home overlooking the Okanagan Valley, and our highest temperature was about 70 degrees with bright, sunny days and no wind at all. And the Okanagan is known for the best fruit, speaking of fruit again tonight. I sucked down peaches and pears and grapes, and I tell you, I just felt like royalty all weekend long, and some of the best cooking that I've ever had, being at the home of the Duncast there, and then the teaching. My goodness, it was served up in the same style as the fruit of the Okanagan. It was amazing. It was delicious to eat. It was delicious to say. It was delicious to consume. to say the least. And we do, right now, the only thing I know to call it is the Kelowna series right now. It was desperately amazing. And we went into material that I've not done before, did not intend to do hardly any of this. And but there was just things that, you know, 5 minutes before I would get ready for the session, you know, a thought would come to me, and, you know, I would glance down and read over a chapter and think, oh, my gosh, look at that. And so I'd just go teach it, and it just absolutely was profound, just utterly profound. And, again, this was very much the type of teaching that people enjoy, for me the best, because it's where I do my best, and that is context and content teaching, such as we went through all of John 5 and John 12, not all of them, but the major portion of John 5 and John 12. We tracked judgment, Glenn, and we tracked it all the way from John 5, where Jesus said, the Father will judge no man. Do you know most Christians don't even know that Jesus himself said, the Father God will never judge a man? It's just like it doesn't exist. Then it says that the Father has given the authority of all judgment into the hands of the Son. So here the authority of all judgment comes to the hands of the Son. Just give you a little dribble of some of this good stuff. So we follow that through John 5 all the way into John 12, and we see Jesus having been passed to him the authority of all judgment. And many of you have known that I taught in the past about the cup of wrath, the cup which the prophets foretold that would be poured out on the people, and Jesus wound up with that cup in his hand. That was filled with the wrath of God, and Jesus prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. We went into things about the will of God and that whole thing, and a picture was painted for us of Jesus in that garden with that cup. He had the authority, Glenn, to pour it out on the entire earth or drink it. Glenn, it was his choice. The Father gave him authority over all judgment. It was his decision. We got so overcome with the love of God, we were reduced to tears. To have that picture in your mind of Jesus saying to the Father, knowing this horrible, as the prophet foretold, this cup was filled with the dregs of the blood of the slain and the wrath of God in this cup, because the term vial in the book of Revelation is virtually the same term, just means cup. And here Jesus winds up in the Garden of Gethsemane. All of creation is coming to an end, Glenn. And Jesus has this cup in his hand. And it was just amazing. This picture just came before all of our eyes. And we saw Jesus with that choice. He could pour it out as John saw it in the book. As he stood and watched the cross, John saw what Jesus would have been doing with that cup. But instead he drank the cup. We were reduced to nothing, yet we were lifted to the highest of highs in coming to grips with this awesome reality. And all we did is follow the progression of the teachings of Jesus from John 5 to John 12. And then Jesus said, Jesus said in John 12, do you know that Jesus said, even if you don't believe in me, I will not judge you. Then he said in the verse after that, but the words that I say, they will judge you. And I thought, well, what words would judge us? What words were going to judge us? Jesus was teaching the law of Moses.
Yes.
He said in chapter 5, I don't judge you. He said, it is the one that you put your trust, it's Moses. that speaks against you to God. It is Moses is where the judgment comes from. And then Jesus said, the words that I speak, they judge. Why would the words that Jesus speak be what was going to judge people? Because the words Jesus was speaking was the law of Moses.
Right. He was teaching not only the letter of the law, he was also teaching the spirit of that law.
Absolutely. And he taught it so thoroughly. And then after he taught it thoroughly and gave the people the clear choice and let them know, even if you don't believe in me, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you. And then when it came time, Glenn, for his words to judge them, or for their words to judge them, because remember Jesus said, by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned. And at the moment that his words and their words were supposed to condemn them and judge them, Jesus took that judgment and drank it and ingested it for the entire planet.
Thank God. Well, if that doesn't whet your appetite for the Kelowna series, I don't know what could. Well, we're over time, Mikey, and get that thing duplicated, will you, please?
I know. I want to hear it myself now.
Well, of course, we will let you folks know when that is available on the GospelRevolution.com website. Visit the GospelRevolution.com frequently, and apparently we're going to have a meeting coming up in Illinois pretty quick here, and as always, we will be in touch. And Mike, thanks for your time and for just...
Oh, thank you, Glenn, and thank you so much. I want people to know I really appreciate Glenn. I appreciate you and your commitment to the gospel and to me personally and to the Gospel Revolution and carrying off this pledge drive in just such an amazing way. Thank you so very much.
Well, we ain't quitting, that's for sure.
Okay.
No, we'll be here next week, Lord willing, if the creek don't rise. I want to thank Steve Essery for calling in from Illinois. Rory Napton for calling in from Georgia, and everybody else, Greg, for emailing us, and Matt from Georgia. And also, of course, as always, want to thank Patrick L. Jones, our executive producer and engineer extraordinaire of this webcast. And we will talk to you 1 week's time, 9 o'clock, next Wednesday night. That will be September 19th. Be here or be square. This is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.